This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of our souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Psalm 42, beginning at verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we say with the psalmist today, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so my soul panteth after thee, O God. For thou art my God, thou art the living God, thou art my Father, my Savior and my Comforter, thou art the triune God in whom we rest, not the one we love, the desire, the one we desire to follow with all of our soul and be made in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray that the word thou hast given us for this day will go home in power and in much assurance to our hearts. Souls will be enlightened. Eyes will be made to behold and understand the truth of Christ Jesus our Lord. We be lifted up, for it is in his precious name that we pray. Amen. gracious and how merciful and precious our living God is to us, that He would provide a substitute for poor sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's given us a place where we can hide our precious, priceless souls, and that's in the bosom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I praise God today for that hiding place that He's given us in Him. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Have you written for your free copy of our book that we're giving away this month entitled The Shadow of the Cross, Studies in Self-Denial? This book blessed and searched my heart, and I want you to have a copy of it. It's by Walter J. Chantry, pastor of Grace Baptist Church, Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He goes on to show us that the message of the cross is the heart of the Christian gospel. But he also shows us that the Lord Jesus and the apostles spoke of the cross also as the principle of Christian experience, as well as the chief symbol of God's love. Belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, and brings out in these studies, means taking up the cross personally and living for Him rather than for ourselves. So I want you to have a copy of this little book entitled The Shadow of the Cross, Studies in Self-Denial. Write us, and we'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. The Lord laid upon our heart a series of messages on the sin of hypocrisy, our profession without life, and we began it last week and began to show you the need, the very great desperate need in the times in which we're living of the work of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you why. I believe the judgment of God is fast coming upon the vast multitudes in Christendom today because of the lukewarmness and hypocrisy that is so manifest in the lives of those who claim to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. There has never been a day in the history of the church when seemingly there has been more profession and less practice of godliness than is witnessed in our churches today. Every form of the media proclaims the fact that more people claim to be born again, that more people claim to be followers of Christ today than at any other time in the history of the Christian church. You and I know that there are more Bible study groups and prayer groups and retreats, seminars, singing and preaching groups scattered around the country than at any other time. But beloved, my heart has been grieved because I'm face to face with many questions. And this is the reason for God laying these messages upon my heart. I'm faced with these questions. When I see all of this going on, and there seems to be a revival of everything under the sun, that people palm off as being the work of God, I ask some questions, some vital questions. Where is the godliness and holiness that characterized the church in the Acts of the Apostles? Where is the preciousness of Christ? Is that known to men today? Where is the convicting power of God, the Holy Spirit? Where are there sinners crying unto God for mercy? For you see, where Christ is and where He's preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, they're going to be sinners. Where are the life-giving evidences of the claims of God upon the lives of so-called born-again believers today? Where is the Lordship of Jesus Christ claimed and practiced? Where is the thundering forth of the law of God so that people may know what sin is? Where is the separation from the world and the walking in righteousness and true holiness? I believe, beloved, that these are pertinent questions for our times, and they are raised in my mind. And it grieves me when I find out what our trouble is today. And I do not desire to be critical. I desire to analyze, because this is the burden of our prayer. This is the burden of our prayer meetings every day as we meet here praying for your precious souls Where is the emphasis today? My beloved, I believe that the trouble today is that men have been rushed into profession without the slightest bit of work in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. For you see, if anyone gets the least concern about his soul, then he has rushed into profession through the four spiritual laws, and he is told he is saved because he has now made a commitment. People are told that they're saved because they have said yes to certain questions when they know nothing of the knowledge of God. They have no knowledge of who God is. They have no knowledge of their depraved hearts. They have no knowledge of the awfulness of their sin against God. They know nothing of a sorrow for sin or a hatred of themselves. Neither have they a deep desire to turn to God from sin, asking that God would break the power of sin in their lives because they have come to hate it. And my dear friend, without the work of the Holy Spirit, and this is what's missing today, our preaching is in vain, our labors are in vain, for without Him we can do nothing. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in John 6:63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." And this is what concerns me, because we must be made alive. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Men must be laid alive. We must be quickened by the Holy Spirit, who alone can produce the new birth in us by His almighty power. It is He alone who can make us willing in the day of His power, or we will never be saved, because we cannot pick ourselves up by our bootstraps. My friend, I found out a long time ago that a little profession and a little believinism just won't do it. It must be the incorruptible Word of God. That seed must go home to our hearts. And the Spirit must work in our souls if ever we are brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we are living in a day when most everybody wants a good feeling, a good emotion, a happy time. But I do not find many people who want to face the reality of sin and the guilt before God, their guilt before God. I find many people who want the blessing of God, but they do not want that humbling, mortifying experience of Holy Spirit conviction, which makes them face the awful fact of their utter ruined condition before God. This is the reason we have profession without life. I find many people that want to get to Christ, but they want to jump over all of this humbling, breaking, mortifying, wounding, and sorrowing work of repentance. They do not want to wait until a real work of grace is worked in their soul by the Holy Spirit. Men want to pick the fruit before it's ripe. And men are not giving time to prayer and to preaching the Word that men might be brought under conviction before God. And therefore, men are rushed into profession without life, and they have nothing but hypocrisy. They are painted hypocrites before God. They want to escape hell and have all the benefits of the gospel without the work of the gospel in their hearts, which, my friend, starts with a breaking of your will. It starts with a knowledge of your sin. It starts with a laying at the foot of the cross as a helpless, hopeless sinner before God. You want to rush in with a little profession instead of waiting upon God to break your heart. You want the benefits of the gospel with your righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. You want all of this before you learn the terms of the gospel, which is a crucifixion of the flesh. As we read in Galatians 5:24, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust thereof." My friend, this is what is missing, and my heart's grieved over it. This is the burden of our prayer, that God would send Holy Spirit conviction, and men would see their lost condition before God. My friend, if you never come lost before God, you can never say that you're saved. And if you do not hear what our blessed Lord says in Luke 14, and He says it in love, and He did not leave them in doubt. He gave the gracious invitation, beginning with verse 12, to come to the supper because all things were now ready. And then He turned to them in verse 25 of Luke 14 and began to say unto them, If any man come to Me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be My disciple. Our Lord told them the truth in love, that the terms of the gospel was that they were to forsake their way and follow Him. But where do you find people who want to hear that today? That they must leave the world and go forth unto Christ without the camp, bearing His reproach. Hebrews 13:13. I do not find many today that want to do what Moses did. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So Hebrews 11 tells us that he forsook Egypt. And my friend, this is what every soul does that comes to Christ for salvation. There is a refusing of the world and a choosing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the world must be forsaken. I would that you'd hear this and understand this. I don't want to be hard, but I want to be true to your precious souls that the terms of salvation is laid down again in Isaiah 55:7 in these words. It is the wicked forsaken his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and him return unto God, and then God will have mercy upon him, and he will abundantly pardon. But my friend, it is the wicked forsaken his way of sin, his way of self-will, his way of self-assurance, his way of rebellion, and the unrighteous man must understand that he must turn from his thoughts, that he must cry to God that his pride and unbelief and lust and self-will would be broken at the cross, and that he would return to God in true repentance, and he might have forgiveness and deliverance and mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. You see, there is that complete surrender unto Christ as Lord. For He will not allow us into His kingdom. He will not allow us to be partakers of His glorious and gracious salvation without a broken will. And without a complete surrender unto His Lordship, He might be Lord of all. You see, Psalm 51:17 tells us that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. It's a broken heart, a broken will before God, and nothing short of this, dear friend, and anything short of this, dear friend, is nothing but hypocrisy. And this is why we cry. And this is why we pray. This is why we weep. It's why we cry unto God. I don't want you to come up to that last day and hear those awful words, Depart from Me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You see, God cannot take us in until there is that willingness for us to leave our rebellion. You see, we cannot be married to the Lord Jesus Christ as long as we are still longing and hankering after other lovers. But my friend, why should Christ save us if we love the world and all that is in it above Him who gave Himself to redeem us from this present evil world? He not only came to save us from hell, but He came to save us from our sins. And I know that under Holy Spirit conviction, this is what the sinner desires, to be delivered some, not so much from the wrath of God and hell, as he desires to be delivered from himself and to be delivered from sin. He cries unto God, Lord, deliver me from myself, for I find that within me dwelleth no good thing. It is from within that all this corruption comes. And so, my dear friend, God does not make bargains with us. It is imperative that we come clean and come clear with God. It's imperative that we lay down our arms of rebellion and give up the world. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And so according to Matthew 7, only those who do the will of God will enter into heaven. And I don't want you to come short of that. It's a reason we cry week after week that you repent, that you turn unto God, trying to draw that line of demarcation, trying to awaken you to your sleep of death, your sluggardness, your prayerlessness, and let you see that God's Word demands that we do the will of God. Or we cannot enter in the kingdom of heaven. Depart from me that work iniquity, because you did not do the will of my Father which is in heaven. And you ask, "Pastor, what is the will of God?" Well, He gives it to us in Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes. Let's look at a few of them. We find in the first one, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." You see, the man who does the will of God is the man who comes before God in poverty of spirit, owning his sinfulness and helplessness before God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. The will of the Father is that I will come before Him in this poverty of spirit, admitting that I know nothing, I am nothing, and can do nothing. Spiritually speaking, I am poverty stricken. I am poor in spirit. Again, in that second beatitude, He said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." You see, the man who does the will of God is the one who mourns over sin, over his lack of conformity to Christ, and his inability to produce one good work that God will accept for salvation and his justification before God. He mourns because he's a sinner. He mourns because he cannot get to God by himself. He knows that the Holy Spirit must produce in him that work. So he cries after God in Christ, that by His Spirit He would work in him that which is well-pleasing. He does not want to be a painted hypocrite. He does not want just a profession. He wants life. He wants Christ. He wants reality. He wants that living, loving, lasting union with the living God. And then if you'd go to the fourth beatitude, He said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You see, the man who does the will of God is he who hungers and thirsts after the righteousness which is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's like the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3. "What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." And why does he count all of this dung? As he might be found in Christ, not having his own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith of Jesus Christ. So he hungers and thirsts after this righteousness. Beloved, let me tell you something. I want you to get this statement. This hungering and this thirsting after Christ is one of the most blessed signs of a true work of grace in the heart. This desire to be Christ, to know Christ, and to be His completely. Then he follows in the example of the Apostle Paul. I have to have Christ. I must have His righteousness. And my friend, anything else is nothing but lip service. It is vain, it is hypocritical, and useless, and only damns the soul further into hell. Oh, I would that God by His Spirit would work today, and that the Word would go home to each and every heart. For if we're not awakened, if we're not brought to see what God demands and what the will of the Father is, how can we do His will? Again, we read of the will of God in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 and 7 in these words, "This is the will of God, even your sanctification. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." And if our lives are not producing the fruits of sanctification and holiness, my friend, we're not saved. We're nothing but painted hypocrites, abiding under the judgment and wrath of a sin-avenging God. Oh, my heart has cried, "Oh, Lord, let me warn again today. Let me tell them that profession without life, profession without Christ, is nothing but hypocrisy. It is not the real thing. And you're acting and walking in a way that is not pleasing unto God." Now, I know, my dear friend, that all these things must be worked in us, in our understanding and affection by the Holy Spirit, but praise His holy name. This is the work He was sent to perform. And I for one, am trusting Him to do it. Remembering His word that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. For God hath made Christ to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we in turn might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And this is the work of the Spirit, and I praise Him that He is working in some hearts. He's working here in our assembly. He's been working where we've been going, preaching His word, and trusting He's working in your heart. And that the Word is going home by the almighty power of His Spirit. Do you want a copy of these messages? We'd be happy to send them to you. Write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy to have been with you. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.